We are so grateful to be here on this beautiful Independence Day weekend that the Lord has given to us, and not to take anything away from the glory and the honor that all of us wish to give directly to the Lord. We're grateful for Pastor Pine's ministry. He was helping his wife and got hit in the head with a crockpot lid this morning. And so the pastoral staff kind of looks like an infirmary. Pastor DeSerge is recovering from his black eye. He got it home plate. And beautiful weekend here. And it's, Pastor, thank you for leading us to the Lord and to appropriately thank the Lord for our great country and for its Christian and righteous heritage that it's had in the past. It's Independence Day weekend in America, and it's been beautiful. It's iced tea and it's watermelon time. It's fireworks and it's firecracker time. It's sparklers and sweet tea time. Time for lemonade and lightning bugs and bandstands with bunting. And it's a great weekend for long walks and for long talks in lawn chairs and on porches under shade trees. It's time to stroll on the grass in the cool of the evening. And the weather here this weekend has been postcard perfect, hasn't it? Did you remember to thank the Lord for that? Last night, the neighbors had spent probably hundreds of dollars on fireworks, patriotic lot that they are, and shot them off late at night. Our Yorkie Hazard got into a bit of an uproar over that. He was ready to dig in and defend the family. He kind of didn't understand that it was a celebration. To him, it was just a lot of noise and confusion and danger. After our morning service is concluded today, we won't have an evening service. It's very unusual here, and it will be very unusual, but we won't have an evening service. And we won't really have anything much scheduled for the next couple of days. And that's by design. We won't have service, won't have choir, won't have orchestra or any meetings tonight. The church offices will be closed. Guiding Hands Pregnancy Refuge will be closed for this week. It'll be a quiet couple of days. And I'm sure that you have family plans and plans for recreation. And recreation is God's idea. And it's a good idea. Recreating and resting your heart. But don't let the crowded beach or the noisy fireworks or the heavy traffic push thoughtful remembrance out of your mind. And if communion service is a time of remembrance, we do this in remembrance. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Memorial Day and the 4th of July are times of remembrance. They're times of kind of national, if in a sense, kind of national communion. National remembrance, national gratitude. And spiritual freedom is given to us on Calvary. We know that. We sang about it. And national freedom is not something that we just won ourselves. You understand that. It wasn't because of our military might that we have national freedom. It wasn't just because men and women laid down their lives. It wasn't just because we have great natural resources or our natural beauty. It wasn't because Americans are of a higher quality of character than other people in the world. There should be no misunderstanding, no ethnocentrism when it comes to patriotic times. We must recognize that in the providence of God, God has allowed our land to have the prosperity that it's enjoyed in the past and the freedom that it's enjoyed in the past. And so it's important for us at a time like this to remember. We do it regularly as an ordinance of the church to stop and to remember the things of the Lord. At communion, when people gather together on the Lord's Day, we stop, we think, we ponder, we remember, and we thank God. We have a good memory. And we should do it as a nation, too, now of all times. The most patriotic thing that you can do is to be a godly Christian. You should be patriotic. You should raise the flag, and you should honor the fallen, and you should support our troops. I notice that you are eager to do that as a congregation, and that's an encouragement to me. We should buy poppies and attend parades and salute the flag, and we should pledge allegiance to it, not leaving out one nation under God. We should do our civic duties as good citizens and as good Christians. But we must remember that the most patriotic thing that we can ever do is godliness. It's gospeling. It's living and preaching the gospel. There's no greater patriotic act. There's no more patriotic duty. Nothing that strengthens a country more than calling individuals to their responsibilities to God and living out our responsibilities to God. To fear God and keep His commandments is a patriotic duty. in dark apostate times when men have forgotten God, and they have in America today. America's only hope is just a faithful remnant, a small group of godly Christians who still understand the gospel and who still abide by the gospel, who as a small godly remnant will still follow God with all of their hearts. Our wonderful country really is in desperate need of faithful, humble, holy, consistent Christian people to be what they are. Our most patriotic thing is a witness and to live a witness and display a holy life around you and show and tell the gospel and live and talk a gospel saturated life. The nation needs nothing more than the gospel, more than economic recovery, more than economic recovery. All that the country is obsessed with is economic recovery. What they don't recognize is there's a clear link between the blessing of God and people who have humbled themselves before God. And so we can change presidents and Congress, and we can do all kinds of different things in terms of policy. Things won't change until God's people have humbled themselves before God, and God has chosen to reverse things that are judgment on America. And of course, anyone who suggests that there's judgment on America is going to be mocked, and it's going to be scoffed, and the Bible says that's what would happen. And I'll show you that in a minute. The nation needs nothing more than the gospel. The nation really needs nothing but the gospel. Once men are rightly related to God, think about that. They'll vote right, and they will legislate honorably, and they will have compassion, and they will suppress greed, and they will live pure and honorable lives if they're right with God, if they believe the gospel. So let's not be like the nations that are turned into hell, because what have they done? They have forgotten God. Nations that forget God are turned to destruction. They're turned into hell. That's what the Bible says. And let's not be like that. Let's not fall into the tragedy of spiritual amnesia or spiritual dementia or spiritual Alzheimer's, forgetting where we've come from. My wife Lois, her home place in Kentucky is a few miles from the Daniel Boone National Forest, a vast, beautiful, wild tract of land, which includes the Red River Gorge. Even for young, healthy, able-bodied people, it's hikers and climbers, it can be a very dangerous place. Last week, there was a man hiking a path that I've hiked many times before, and he was attacked by a black bear in the Red River Gorge. 40 stitches to fix that. In September of last year, a part-time census worker was hanged with the word "Fed" written on his chest. September 2009. In the Daniel Boone National Forest. It's a dangerous place. In the gorge, a path that looks like it's leading through the woods may stop abruptly at the foot of a huge, dangerous precipice. I've seen many myself in my morning hikes. While hiking, I've often seen signs bearing names and dates of the deaths of young people who have plunged from cliffs to their death. It's a wild, beautiful, dangerous place. We were visiting there one summer, and this report came out. A woman who struggled with dementia had wandered off, an older woman had wandered off into this great, vast, dangerous forest, and they couldn't find her. A manhunt went on to find her. Dozens of people spilled out into the forest and searched through the forest all day and all night. There was no trace of her. And finally, mercifully, the next day they found her suffering from exposure, suffering from dehydration. Her life was saved, but she was wandering in this great wilderness, confused and in danger. And America is wandering in the wilderness, naked, wounded, confused, vulnerable, and in great moral danger today. Just read the newspaper. Just pay attention to what's going on. People don't mind talking about God in a kind of a God bless America way. You remember after the attacks in 9/11, everybody saying God bless America, but nobody really asked the question, God, what would have to happen for you to bless America again? What changes would have to take place in my life? What attitudes would have to change? They want a kind of God, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to sleep with who I want to sleep to. And God, you make sure and give me prosperity and blessing when I've done all that I want to do. So we stand on the steps of the courthouse and we say, keep the bad people away. God bless America. But we really don't mean God bless America. Not collectively as a nation. As a nation, we're wandering in danger in the wilderness, and we've lost our memory of God's providence. We've lost our memory of God's protection. We've lost our memory of God's law. We've lost our memory of God's mercy. We've lost our memory of the specific things that God has told people to do, that they would be pursued with blessing if they do. We've forgotten those things because we have forgotten God. We've rejected God, and it's a willful forgetting. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32 says, a virgin, can she forget her ornaments? In other words, can a young woman forget her pretty stuff? Of course not. Or a bride her attire? Yet my people, they have forgotten me. Days without number. I would suggest that you read Peter Marshall Jr.'s books, The Light and the Glory, and David Manuel, or maybe watch A Man Called Peter, the story of a movie about his father. You recognize that America has forgotten the providence of God, the protection of God, the blessing of God. America has forgotten the provision of God. America has forgotten the Lord's Day. America has squandered the Lord's Day. I'm glad you're here today. There are hundreds of you here today. But there are many, many, many thousands of people who are trimming their lawn, who are ignoring God. They don't consider themselves rebels against God. They don't consider themselves hateful. They consider themselves good citizens. But you understand that God's people went into Babylonian captivity because they disregarded his day. He sent them into captivity under others because they wouldn't remember God one day of the week. And if you look around, you'll recognize that in our culture, men have forgotten the Lord's day. They don't know anything about the Lord's day or honoring the Lord on his day. And many Christians are the same. America has forgotten her vows and her promises to God. It is very common for people when they love someone to call that person into covenant relationship and to make binding promises, right? When you got married, you did that. You found that one person, you said, will you promise that I will be the only person in your life and you will be the only person in my life? Will you promise before people in a binding covenant? That should never go out of style. Am I right? That should never go out of style. That's right. That's godly. That's honorable. You don't have casual in and out relationships. That's the way Christians have always done through the years. They have gathered together in Christian communities and they have covenanted together, making promises before God. Our church has. If you're a member, this is the covenant that you are under. I'm going to read it to you. Church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive. By the way, just to interrupt myself. This church covenant is kind of boilerplate. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Baptist people. For many, many years, over 100 years, have adopted this church covenant that's almost precisely word for word like this. It was interesting to me recently in my wife's childhood church, a Southern Baptist church in Camden, Kentucky. I went into the fellowship hall. They had a copy of the church covenant bigger than that, about the size of that screen turned like this. What is that? Portrait style. Huge church covenant to read. Let me read you the church covenant. This is what makes our church especially unique, that we would bind each other together, making holy promise vows to God. As a member of the church, you're saying, I've been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And on profession of faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels and this assembly, most solemnly, joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. That's heavy language, isn't it? We're calling on God and angels to recognize the promises we're making. This is going to make us a very special relationship, right? Together, when we agree together. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love. To strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, comfort. To promote its prosperity and spirituality. To sustain its worship ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. To contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, and the relief of the poor. And the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly, that means real carefully, in the world, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment, the way we behave, to avoid tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. And we, moreover, engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. That's a good covenant. Those are good words. They're beautifully written. God's people, for many, many years, have said together, we'll bind ourselves into covenant together to encourage one another. Can I ask you, have you forgotten the promises that you've made to God? Are you forgetting? Do you have spiritual dementia, spiritual amnesia, spiritual Alzheimer's, that you're forgetting the covenant of God, forgetting the promises you made to God, forgetting the things that God has done for you, forgetting the law that God demands of you? If you're like I am, yes, I would have to say sometimes, yes, I forget. I have a short memory. I get all distracted. I get all confused. I get all busy. I start to forget the things of God. And that's why he says to us over and over again, come back and remind each other. Use these symbols as a memorial. That's what they are. They're memorial symbols that we use to remind us of the thing that binds us in covenant together, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ Jesus for our salvation. We remember his death and we're going to keep doing it until he comes back. We're not going to forget. We're not going to be like people who forget God, who forget God's law, who forget God's book, who forget God's day, who forget God's providence, who forget God's mercy over us, who forget his love in the gospel. We will not forget. We'll sing of it. We'll speak of it. It won't be just from Sunday to Sunday. It'll be every morning when I get up and when I see the sunrise and when I see the sunset at night and every moment of my life when I'm in beautiful times that remind me of the goodness of God, when I'm in difficult times and severe times that are very painful and lean times that are very difficult, I then will be faithful. When I'm in pain, I will be faithful. I will remember and I won't forget. That's what we're saying. More and more, America has mocked the Word of God and mock the prophets of God. Let me give you an example of this in the Bible. If you turn in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll see this. 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll see this as we just prepare to go to the Lord's table. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder. There's something about stopping and remembering. And we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, and Peter is saying, I want to remind you of some things. If you forget, you're in spiritual danger. Forgetting means spiritual danger. Spiritual amnesia means you're wandering naked, vulnerable, in a wild wilderness. So he says, I'm stirring up your minds by way of remembrance that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget. They willingly forget. What is he going to say? He's going to say they willingly forget that they're created by God and that they're going to be judged by God. That's what the rest of this says. They have a willful forgetting. Does that make sense? It's like a child who says to his mother, you know, mom says, take out the trash. The kid didn't forget. Mom says, why didn't you take it out? I didn't remember. You willfully forgot. But it's a trivial thing, I suppose, and as a child, we're talking here about nations and peoples. Individuals who have forgotten God willfully. He said, I'm stirring up your mind. You have willfully forgotten that God created you. And you've willfully forgotten that God is going to call you into account one day. And you have willfully forgotten that God has been merciful and long-suffering. Chapter 3, verse 10. And you have willfully forgotten. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 10 through 14. You willfully forgotten that God is going to bring a great fiery judgment on the world. And he's going to recreate the world. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And you don't want to remember that because you want your own little kingdom here and now. And that's what the average person around you is doing. But we're really not so concerned about them this morning as we're concerned about you. And that is an effect on your wife and your family and your children and your heart. Right now, you are forgetting God. You are in danger of forgetting God. So we come back to the communion table and we pause on a beautiful weekend like this. As a nation, as a church, as a family, and as individuals. And we say, God, I will never forget you. I will never forget what you've done for me. I never will forget what you demand of me. And I will never forget what you provided for me. I will not be like those who forget, who willfully forget God and go their own way. I won't do that. Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 35 says, therefore, says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, therefore you will bear the penalty of your lewdness and idolatry. So let's go to the communion table now. I ask my pastor and brothers to join me here at the table. And we're going to thank the Lord together. We're going to pause now. This is our patriotic duty. This is our civil duty, but this is our spiritual delight and our duty. It's the equivalent of holding your wife's hands and looking in her eye and saying, after many years, I promise there will be no other. There is no other and there will be no other. I will give my life as long as I'm alive for you. I'm devoted to you and I'm committed to you. I'm loyal to you and I'm faithful to you. The sickness and in health, I promise. only it's even greater than human marriage, as we all know. This is the sovereign God of the universe who never breaks his promises. So bride and groom relationship is communion and his fellowship. Could you imagine with me for a moment just a personal meeting that you might have with the Lord Jesus? Would he take your hands and look you in the eye and affirm his love for you and remind you of what he's done for you? And he would say to you, are you going to walk with me the rest of your life? And what would you say to him as he held your hands there? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be able to say, if you will help me, if you will strengthen me, I will walk with you the rest of my life. And what if he were to say to you, what about this little problem we have? You know what I'm talking about. Will you forsake that with my help? And you would say to him, yes, I will forsake that with your help. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? This is what we do in communion and fellowship with Jesus. And so may God help us to take that so soberly. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you. And in the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, if you would imagine the Lord Jesus offering you a drink that represents his blood and saying to you, will you be in covenant with me? I will give you the power. I will give you the strength. Will you be in covenant with me? This is what we say every time we come to the communion table. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jeremiah, in chapter 2, the prophet is told by God to ask his people to come back to him, and they have been committing spiritual adultery with every other imaginable belief system. They're out and they're committing spiritual adultery. He said, I remember you, in chapter 2, will you remember me? In chapter 2 and verse 17, he said, you have forsaken and you have forgotten God. In chapter 2 and verse 32, he says, my people have forgotten me, days without number. And then in chapter 3, and to read the entire chapter would be a good thing in the afternoon, he talks to Judah and to Israel. He says to Judah in verse 10, Judah has not turned to me or returned to me with a whole heart, but in pretense, she says. And as a pastor, as I look over our congregation, I wonder how many of us have returned to God, but oh, it's only a pretense. It's only really an act. It's only really something we go through externally. It's like kind of an outward religious, you know, kind of observance. But it never really burrows down beneath into our heart of hearts. Have you returned to him in pretense or genuinely? And he says this, even though she's been treacherous in her dealings, gone out and committed adultery over and over again. And he says, it's a great abomination, spiritual adultery. He says this, and this is very helpful. Return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you because I am merciful, says the Lord. Maybe even you today, you can remember all the shameful things that you've done and all the things that you've done that were really inconsistent with all the wonderful things that God has done for you. And you don't feel like you have any right to go back to God and say, hey, can I start over? And he says to you, I'm a merciful God. You return to me and I will return to you. You remember and you return. And he says this, I am merciful. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity. Acknowledge your iniquity. And then he says, and this is a key thing, maybe you're overcome and you're overwhelmed, as I often am, when you look around at the world and you think how many people, the majority, do not know God. The majority do not honor God. Even in our wonderful country that we love so much, so many have twisted or distorted ideas of God, and they think they're followers of God. But in verse 14, he says, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. And then he says this, I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And then he kind of launches into a promise that spans into centuries forward into the millennial time when there's no longer the Ark of the Covenant and there's the presence of the Lord. And he kind of reminds them about what's going to, he gets them to anticipate what's going to happen in the future. And he says to them, understand this. I'm going to pick out one from a city and two from a family. Now, this is to encourage you. You say, I'm a minority. Of course, that's how God works. He works with minorities. You say, I'm weak. That's how God works. He works with weaklings. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, He's ordained strength to silence the enemy of the avenger. You say, but just a few of us. That's right. But there's one of Him, and He's all powerful. And so there's a faithful remnant. You understand? So what do? We remember and we return in sincerity to God, and we acknowledge our iniquities, and every one of us today can do that. It's our patriotic duty. It's a civil duty. It's a spiritual duty. And we're not overwhelmed by the fact that there are only a few of us because He's all powerful. So even though we're a remnant, that's the way that God works, a small number. There's another thing that I would show you, and it's this. In verses 21 and 22 of Jeremiah 3, it says, a voice was heard in desolate heights, weeping and supplications for the children of Israel. They have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. So we remember and we return, even though we're filled with the shame of our own spiritual adultery, we return and He receives us. We remember and we return even with a whole heart and not with pretense, but a sincere 7 day a week, 24/7, genuine desire to remember and seek God. And we remember and we return even if there are only a few of us or even only a few of us in our own family. If you're the only one in your family, you'd be the faithful remnant in your family. Guess how God works. End of the Old Testament. Things get dark and they're going to go dark and they're going to go silent in the last Bible, the book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And what do? They kind of circle in and they say in Malachi 3:6, those who fear the Lord, they spoke to one another. The Lord listened and He heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him. A book of remembrance. You have a small remnant of faithful people who say, let's not forget these things. Let's gather these things we believe are right. Let's not forget them. We'll cherish these things. We'll value these things. We'll teach our children and our grandchildren these things. We will remember these things. We will sing about these things. They will be the focus of our hearts. We'll write a book of remembrance. Say, when the world goes dark and when the world goes silent, there will be a faithful, covenanted group of people together that encourage one another in these things. We are not people who are going to forget. We are people that are going to make notes so that we remember. About 3 years ago, Hope lost a tooth. And before she went to bed that night, she came in and gently reminded me as she was tucking me in that there would be a tooth under her pillow and that she wanted me to leave money for it. This is a pagan tradition that somehow Christian families practice. That night, Lois and I laid our heads on the pillows. We both plunged immediately into sleep, undisturbed, sweet, unbroken sleep. And we forgot our tooth fairy responsibility completely. But Hope didn't forget. She remembered. In the morning, she came in impudently with her little hand on her hips and said, my tooth is still under my pillow. I was the one to say, well, talk to the tooth fairy about it. Lois said, well, you leave it there. Tomorrow night, we'll try to remember. And we'll leave you some money. Hope is a lot like her mother. She likes it when people give her money. And she's not above reminding you about that. She's also generous. That night, when she put us to bed again, Hope said, she brought a little 3x5 card. She said, do you have a pen? I didn't happen to bring one to bed with me. She said, would you make a note to yourself so you won't forget, so that there will be money under my pillow in the morning? Lois dutifully took the little card and she wrote, remember Hope's tooth. And Hope stuck it on our headboard with tape so we would see it in the morning. Early in the morning, Lois, who is the tooth fairy, found the note and slipped cash under her pillow. And we're just like that, aren't we? You just need gentle reminders from time to time. Maybe we need to get hit over the head with a 2x4. Maybe we need excruciating pain to remember God. Maybe we need to lose our job. Maybe we need to lose our family. Or maybe we just need a little reminder from the Lord. Hey, don't forget me. Remember me. I will never forget you. John 14:26, we have the aid of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. Holy Spirit that lives in every believer will be faithful to remind you. You listen to his gentle reminders before they get loud. Listen to him. Psalm 44, verse 17. All this has come upon us because we have forgotten you. And we have not forgotten you. We have not dealt false with your covenant. And Psalm 33, and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'd like to close with a song, and I'll just lead you here in singing together, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, number 708. Get your hymn book. Open to 708. Let's stand together. When we're done singing, we'll have an announcement or two and a benediction, and you'll be on your way. 708, America.